Oh, wow. 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 Some days are quite extraordinary, and I'm just driving home from work after a quite special day. The day began, and this is what the audiobook is going to be about. It's going to be about what a day in the life of the co-founder of Change Agents has been like just today. The day began with a misunderstanding. I thought I was rushing to meet an accountant to go through a financial systems and processes for the business. In fact, it's almost like having a finance director in the business. But anyway, turned out to be a misunderstanding, and that's happening tomorrow. And then a meeting with a potential client who was going to meet somebody who had a lot of experience in the market that they were hoping to do business in. So we were brokering a deal, brokering a meeting. My business partner and I were brokering a meeting between somebody who has an extraordinary track record in relation to a particular sector of business. And that person was generously willing to meet a potential client of ours, a startup business, to talk with them about kind of moves that a new startup would have to take in order to become attractive on the world stage, I'm going to put it. And I really do mean the world stage. We were talking about very big numbers in this meeting. Now, this whole thing may be in cloud cuckoo land. It may lead to nothing, right? There's no guarantee that this potential client will become an actual client, and neither is there any guarantee that even if they do become a client of ours, that we will definitely succeed in helping them onto the world stage. But the conversation was about, I mean, all I can say is numbers that were even surprised me. So when the person who knew the industry terribly well spoke about what would happen if one of the big players did a contract deal with this startup, it was very, very surprising to the potential client how big the numbers were. And the amount of resources that the potential client had available to them in relation to the opportunity was tiny. You know, it was as if somebody said, I've got an opportunity here for you to make $1 million, €1 million, £1 million, right? You have to invest a certain amount in order to have a chance of getting that. And the person said, okay, I'm willing to put down €5 or £5, right? In one sense, you would say that there is just too big a difference between what is on the treasure at the end of the rainbow and the risk you're prepared to take for anybody to consider that you're seriously interested in the crock of gold at the end of the rainbow. But everybody goes on a journey, and every new startup has certain level of ambitions, and they have an ambition for, let's say, getting funding or investment funds that they can use to build their brand. Everybody has that, and very often people don't realize how little they actually have and how big their ambition is. And one of the things we do in the conversations with them is help them to make explicit how big their ambition is, how big the marketplace, and what would success look like if they were to break into it and have a success. And also then the point is, how much funding have they got to invest at present? Now, there is such a thing as a minimum viable product, so we're actually talking not about building a hugely successful, sophisticated company as a startup, but building a company which is capable of checking out its ability, finding out whether it's capable of attracting a customer. In this case, it was a very simple situation where, you know, if this company got one single client, right, it would have got success you know, it only needs one client to say yes, and it is then, you know, it has then got a huge amount of work to do, but it has actually succeeded. Now, that's kind of fairly unusual if you're involved in a situation where you make a lot of products and services and you sell them to a lot of different things. But there are situations where, I mean, for sake of argument, if somebody invents something which is put into every single iPhone that is sold by Apple. Now, the company that manufactures that invention, that invents that invention or tweaks that invention, and it goes into every single iPhone, well, that company is either going to be bought by Apple and incorporated into the Apple ecosystem, or else it's going to be paid an annual fee by Apple for providing the amount of parts that Apple would need. So it doesn't actually have to go to anybody else, right? And so it was a fascinating day, because there's more to it than that, and I could tell you a little bit more, but I got to pick my daughter up first, and I'm not sure that I will be actually able to tell you any more, because I think I might run out of time. But anyway, there may be another bit of this audio to come. Okay, there is a second part, right? The day was a day of three parts, but the second part of the day was the arrival of somebody that I have had contact with only by Twitter over probably not far off 3 years. And it was the first ever meeting. So we had often said to each other in tweets that we must meet. There was something, and is and continues to be, something terribly attractive to me about this person. And the interesting thing was that, you know, you have a certain amount of contact via Twitter, and however it went, I was able to not only notice how the person interacted with me, but how they interacted with other people. And I, if you like, fell into rapport with that person over a period of time. And it was mutual. So we had a good reason to meet. We did meet. And the face-to-face meeting was remarkable, because the connections and differences in the arenas within which we had lived and worked for, where we went back over 20 or 30 years, were wonderfully diverse. There were cross-referencing, I suppose you'd call it, crossroads, times we had connected with the same third party without realizing it. The thing that held us, grounded us, was one particular experience, which it has been spoken about on Twitter, so the other person won't mind me referring to this, was that at one time in our life we had both been employed as bus conductors. And the idea that you would develop a relationship with somebody on the internet and discover in the process that you once did the same job a long time ago. And more than that, because that would happen with a lot of people, but that both of us said that that experience of working as a bus conductor had made a significant contribution to the type of person we are today. In each of our cases, I think it would be true to say that the social interaction we had with other people while working as a bus conductor expanded and deepened our skills at interpersonal communication quite significantly. Now, many people will not be familiar, maybe nowadays, even with the idea of a bus conductor, but it seems awfully simple kind of a job. You just, you know, go up to people on the bus and sell them a ticket, right? And they pay the money, and that's the end of the story. They then get off the bus. But I can tell you from personal experience that there is an awful lot more complexity and depth and adventure and imagination and opportunities for practicing different types of human arts and skills in the job of a bus conductor, more than most people would imagine. So I speak from inside experience of that role, and I suppose, you know, I kind of look back on it because I was a bus conductor for over 3 years in London, full time, every day, or yeah, in often cases 6 days a week, when I was doing overtime as well. And I can't even remember, there might have been some times when I did 7 consecutive days working as a bus conductor. I was able to draw value from that job later on in life. I was able to use that experience for the benefit of other people and myself. And it just shows that there is no job at all, I think, which cannot be turned to advantage. There is no human activity that cannot be learned from. And that was the wonderful... our conversation was not about bus conducting for very long. It was enough for us to ground ourselves in that happy experience of meeting each other and having a real tangible connector. I mean, there were lots of other things we spoke about: cross-cultural communication, what it was like to come back to Ireland from other countries, what it was like to work in Ireland, what are the customs and practices of Irish people, and what are the advantages and disadvantages of living in a small place as opposed to a big place. And the mantra that sticks in my mind is what the other person said to me, which is that you live local and think global. Now, we both had that in common, in a sense that I do find it a great enriching process to link with people in other countries, in other time zones, in other cultures, people who speak other languages. I'm now travelling under the River Lee in Cork. I'll give you a chance to hear the sound. It sounds like it's raining, but it isn't. This is a tunnel, longish trail of a tunnel. It probably is about half a mile long. Yeah, the phone fell. The phone fell on the ground, slipped off the dashboard. It's now safe again. And so the key point really is that, what did I say? The last point I wanted to make was that we've been greatly helped by the earlier work we did earlier in the last few months, really, to be quite clear about what our personality and our manifesto is as a business. We are anchored in the realization that we have two aspects to our personality. We are adventurous and we are sincere. They're just two shorthand words for out of 5 possible brand archetypes or brand personalities. And we are adventurous and sincere, both of those. So that is, you will, if we do it well, and you come to our website, you will not just get words that say we're adventurous and sincere, but you will actually feel yourself to be in the presence or in the company of an adventurous and sincere business. And that is what we are going to be realizing on the website, I hope. Well, that's more than a hope, it's an intention. So there we are, that's it. That's the day at work. That's the journey back home, and now it's take my daughter to where she goes next. Thanks very much for listening to this. I hope you found this kind of a diary audio interesting. Perhaps you'll even consider making a similar type of audio about your working day. I would find it rivetingly interesting, but then again, I am a very curious person who's very easily attracted by the story of what somebody has actually done during a day. In fact, it doesn't actually have to be at work. I like stories, full stop. Okay, bye.